We're not going to discuss all the details of what constitutes a chol shiyesh bo sakana, but we'll talk about some of the broader categories that the posting discussed based on the Gemaras, and obviously the details may vary depending on the circumstances. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Kaf Ches Amud Aleph, tells us that we're mechal Shabbos for a makah shel chalal. Maka shel chalal sounds like a maka in an internal organ. If you have some kind of wound in an internal organ, so that's presumed to be potentially life-threatening, and therefore you can be mechal Shabbos without hesitation. The way the Rambam formulates the halacha, Perek Beis Halacha Hey, v'chein yesh maka b'chalal gufo min asafu lefnim, bein b'fiv, bein b'meyav, whether it's in his mouth, in the intestines, in the liver, in the spleen, so anytime you have a wound in an internal organ, that is considered a chol shiyesh basakana, a potentially life-threatening situation. You don't need any doctor's evaluation to tell you that you can be mechal Shabbos, because it's self-understood that there's potential danger. You don't need any medical opinion. You can be mechal Shabbos without hesitation if you know that there is an internal wound. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Kaf Ches Se'if Gimol. Kol makah shel chalal, dahainu me'ashinayim v'lefnim, v'shinayim asmim b'chlal, Mechalin on the Shabbos, the dafka sheniskalkel echen mehayivar mapnimim machmas maka obua the chayotze b'sa. When is that so? That's where there is a internal organ that is affected by some kind of wound or disease. Aval mechushim einikram b'maka. If you just have a pain in an internal organ, but there's no known source, there's no known wound or clear source of that nechush, that doesn't definitionally constitute a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and that's based on a Rashba, Ran, quoted in the Beis Yosef. The Mishnah Brura here discusses in Dibur Maskil V'Dafka to what extent this is the case, meaning when are you licensed to be mechal Shabbos, when should you be, if there is a pain without a known wound. Even if you have intense pain internally, if you don't have an actual wound, an internal wound, then that's not considered a makah shel chalal, even if you have pain. That sounds like the reason that we term these things a makah shel chalal is because we're concerned maybe there's some danger. So even if you don't know there's a wound, I might still be concerned that there's a danger just because of the pain. So he concludes, "Mikol makom efshalomar dim kavle tuvav echem evar mepnimim umesupak l'shem niskal kosham beis adavar." So if you have a pain in an internal organ, and you don't know whether there's a wound or not, so if you know there's no wound, so that's the earlier discussion in the Be'er Halacha, is there right to be mekel of that or not? But if you don't know if there's a wound, the Mishnah Berurah says, then you definitely could be mekel, because maybe there is a wound, and then you can go find the doctor. Rav Vosner points out, Shevet Alevi Chela Ches Simen Ayin Osei, that nowadays experience shows, if you ask any medical professional, that anytime you have a serious internal pain, then more often than not, there's a cause of that pain, which is potentially life-threatening. So anytime you do have a significant internal pain, you should treat that as a chole sheyesh bo sakan. Okay. Then the next line, the Rambam, which we'll see. Let's see how it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shin Chav Chesiv Vav, also based on the Gemara. Makash al gav hayad, if a gav regel, if there's a wound on the hand, on the foot, that is the status of a makash al chalal. That's part of a list he has. If you swallow a leek, or if you're bitten by a rabid dog, these are all things that are makash al chalal. What's the concern of makal gav hayad gav regel? So it sounds like there is a concern that there may be some damage to an artery, which could potentially be life-threatening if that's in an exposed part of the hand or foot. Shmir Shabbos points out, Perek Lamed Beis, Ha'ara Mem Gimel, Perek Lamed Beis, footnote 43, that when it comes to Makal Gav Yagav Haregel Nishtanu Atfayim, that if you don't have the same kind of concern of makash chalal, of the chol sheyesh b'sakana that people used to, that usually a wound on the hand or the foot is not going to be life-threatening. So if you have a doctor that tells you that there's no sakana, you don't have to be choshesh for the Gemara saying otherwise. The Gemara calls it a chol sheyesh b'sakana situation. But because the way Shmir Shabbos quotes it, nishtanu atfayim, nowadays we're not as concerned about such things because the medical consensus is it doesn't pose that much of a danger. So if you have a doctor that tells you not to be concerned, you don't need to be concerned, and you wouldn't be mechallel Shabbos.
What if there's no doctor?
If there's no doctor, so it sounds like if it's something that you don't know whether it constitutes a danger or not, or may, then you wouldn't be choshesh, and then you suffer pikuach nefesh, you have to be machmirah. Okay, now Sif Zayin and Shulchan Aruch. L'chal and Shabbos al kol maka shenaseis machmas barzel. Al mi sheyesh bo kadachas cham b'yosef. If a person has a exceedingly high fever, that is a cause for concern. That's a chol sheyesh bo sakana. So what is this high fever that the Mechaber speaks of? The Mishabur writes, Chan b'yoser, Sifkat in Yutas, Hua nirkra typhus. The typhus, I'm sorry?
Pretty bad, yeah.
Right. So that's what the Mishabur says is kadachas, that's the high fever that we're talking about. Ramosha has an interesting tshuva. Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Kuf Tes. He was asked, what kind of temperature are we talking about? What kind of temperature would be a concern that you treat someone as a chol sheyesh bo sakana? So Moshe writes, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Kuf Tes. Not so clear, he says. Then he writes, Stam b'nei adam choshishin Kishukar of Lamidas May of the Shnayim, Shehu Chan B'Yoser, that some people begin or become concerned if they have a fever of 102 Fahrenheit, and therefore your Mechal Shabbos for a fever of 102. Ve'ein Rishon Lahachmir. And they have to be Mechal Shabbos for a fever of 102 because that's potentially a Chol Sheyesh B'Sakana. That's potentially kadachas. He says, and if someone is concerned with a fever of 101, and he wants people to mechal Shabbos for him, you mechal Shabbos even for the 101 fever. Because that's no worse than a makashena shel chalal, where the chola says that he wants to mechal Shabbos, then we're concerned that maybe he's right. And for a baby, even 100 degrees. Sof davar, when in doubt, You're Michal Shabbos. So writes Rav Moshe, Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Kaf Tes. Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Ches, as law and kuntres on refu issues. Chelek Ches, Siman Tes Vav, Perek Zayin, Os Gimel. Chelek Ches, Siman Tes Vav, Perek Zayin, Os Gimel. He writes, he spoke to the committee of expert doctors that he had a relationship with, that he would lecture to, and he writes that they all said unanimously that if you're going to be Michal Shabbos for a fever of 102 degrees, because you're concerned that maybe that's a kadachas, maybe that's going to be a choleshes v'sakana, then you also would have to be Michal Shabbos for every nosebleed. Because every nosebleed also, if you're not going to treat it, maybe there's a possibility it could lead to a dangerous situation. And he says, it's difficult to understand Rav Moshe's tshuva, that you can be Michal Shabbos for 102 degrees, 101 degrees, and a Tinok 100 degrees. Even if, Rav Moshe says that, even if it's not stemming from an infection. I mean, if you know there's an infection and there's rising fever, that could be, there's something infected in the body and there's a rising fever, that could be a concern for Chol HaShish V'Sakana. But it's time, you have a fever because there's no known cause of the fever, you're just sick, you have under the weather, you have a fever. So then the Tzitz Eliezer doesn't understand why that should give you license to do Michal Shabbos 101 degrees, 102 degrees. And he says, if in the Vola Hatir Michal Shabbos B'chol Kigonzeh Ad Heichan Agir Rachman Litzlan the Nesiv Esetei Michal Shabbos Machos Araisa Avir Kol Eza Chashash Shehi. So that could lead very far to Michal Shabbos for anything. He doesn't think, and the doctors that he consulted with didn't think, that there's any legitimate concern to warn Michal Shabbos unless there's another infection and the fever is just part of a broader picture where there's an infection that needs to be treated. But Sam, you have a fever of 102 degrees, he doesn't think that there are any grounds to Michal Shabbos for such a fever. That is Tzitz Eliezer. Chelek Ches, Siman Tes Vav, Perek Zayin, Os Gimel. Rabbi Bonner, in his English Sefer on Refuah, tries to justify Rav Moshe along the following lines. Says Rav Moshe must be assuming that any time there's a machlokas between Chazal and the doctors, you have to be choshesh for Chazal. And the Gemara tells us, Psachim Kafei, of the Zara Kafes, that there's something called Ishtetz Virsa, the type of disease which Rashi says has a Chom Bioser, the high fever, and that's in the category of a Maka Shel Chalal. So since we don't know exactly what this Ishtetz Virsa is, and Chazal tell you that it's a potential concern of a Maka Shel Chalal, so at any temperature that people normally view that as extreme, if most people think that 102 degrees is a high fever, so then you have to be choshesh, maybe that's the Ishtetz Virsa of Chazal, and you have to treat that as a Chol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana. Rabbi Karp, in his Sefer, quotes a Chuvas HaRashba, and he writes that it must be that Rav Moshe didn't see the Chuvas HaRashba. I don't know if that's true. Chuvas HaRashba was called the Beis Yosef, so presumably Rav Moshe would have seen it. But he says, Rabbi Karp is in Parakav Tess, footnote 83. Chuvas HaRashba is Chela Gimel Simen Reish Yudalid. Chela Gimel Simen Reish Yudalid. Quote of the Beis Yosef, not here in Shin Kav Ches, but in Yerodeya, in the Simanim Alayin Esech, Stam Yenam, Yaradei at the end of Siman Kuf Ayin Dalet, because the Rashba's context is affecting Refuah through Stam Yena. And then he segues into Refuah B'Shabbos as well. So again, Shubas HaRashba, Chela Gimel, Simen, Reish, Yud, Dalet. So the Rashba starts off by talking about doctors that would treat their patients with vinegar-derived products that were made by non-Jews. So that raises questions of Stam Yena. So that's his initial interest in Refuah through Stam Yena. And then he discusses Refuah B'Shabbos as well. So he writes, Rova cholim b'kadachas, most people who have kadachas, whatever, high fever, kolorofim habikiyim danin osam l'chayim l'olamavis. So most of the professional experienced doctors in his time were not concerned by kadachas, and they did not think that it was a life-threatening illness. Ve'ein anu matirin kol isurin l'kol mi sheyesh lo kadachas, and therefore we're not matir chil Shabbos at will for someone who has kadachas. L'kol mi shenafel l'mishkav, or anyone who is bedridden, afilu l'shlosh yomim, even if he's in bed for 3 days with kadachas, that's not enough to justify chil Shabbos. Even though the Gemara lists kadachas as quoted by the Rishonim, the Gemara lists kadachas as a cholish yeshbas kind of situation, but the Rashba says in his time the medical consensus was that kadachas doesn't pose a life-threatening danger, and therefore, absent any other indicators that there's a sakana, you're not allowed to be mechallel Shabbos for kadachas. And he says, what about ishta tzvirsa, which Rashi had explained was a disease involving a chom gadol, which the Gemara equates to makas shel halal, a cholish yeshbas kind of situation. The Rashba writes, ishta tzvirsa man afrishlan the hu choli shel kadachas. How do you know that that is kadachas, that is our kind of high fever? V'lo l'das kol ha'bikiyin ein kol ha'kadachas misukanos l'shaitan. That, again, our doctors say that kadachas is not typically life-threatening. If Rashi lo pirsho choli shel kadachas, Rashi didn't say ish that tzemir says kadachas, el choli acher v'hu sheyesh basakana v'lo b'kadachas apshuta. So we don't know what the ishta tzemirsa was, what the that he says that Rashi's ishta tzemirsa isn't definitionally anything that has a high fever. It's something, some disease that may have had a high fever associated with it, but not any high fever. So the Rashba there paskes is that his kadachas is not a cholish yeshba sakana. Even in earlier times, it was treated as a cholish yeshba sakana, and therefore you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a kadachas. Rabbi Karr points out, the Rashba here seems to indicate that merely having a high fever alone, if the medical consensus is that it doesn't pose a cholish yeshba a life-threatening situation, so we don't treat it as a cholish yeshba sakana, and therefore Rabbi Karp says that a fever of 102 degrees, which is not typically viewed as dangerous absent other factors, would not be caused to be Mechal Shabbos with Malachas Daraisa. Rav Vosner, Chela Gimel Simen Lamed Vav, Chela Gimel Simen Lamed Vav, quotes 40 degrees Celsius, which is about 104 degrees Fahrenheit, as the threshold for what could potentially be a cholish yeshba sakana. That seems to be more the consensus of the poskim, that somewhere in the 104 super high fever would be cause for concerns with cholish Shabbos, but typically speaking 102 would not.
Revozer Shimon Levi?
So that in the literature, the contemporary poskim, it seems that despite Rav Moshe Teshuva, the general consensus is that there's a higher threshold for what would concern us as a cholish yeshba sakana in terms of fever, absent other factors. Okay.
Could we be mechalel derabbanans from 102 and up until 104?
Yeah, so presumably we'll get to that now with what's a cholish yeshba sakana, But if someone is characterized as, or both, as a cholesh yesh basakana because of that fever, so then that's what we'll talk about now, b'luchal Shabbos, b'drabana yidei shinoi, or when potentially even now yidei shinoi. Okay, so that's a good segue to our next topic. Till now we've been discussing cholesh yesh basakana. We're now going to segue to cholesh ein basakana, and we'll see machlokas rishonim whether sakanas eiver, whether having a danger to a limb, you know, the danger of loss of function of a limb, total loss of function, partial loss of function of a limb, is the same as cholesh ein bo sakana, or is that a different category, which is more kal than cholesh ein bo sakana? And in Shulchan Aruch, the two are treated together, so you have to parse through the distinctions to get some clarity. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Kaf Tes Amid Aleph that when it comes to a cholesh she'ein bo sakana, which we'll define shortly, a cholesh she'ein bo sakana, you're allowed to tell a nochri to do malacha on his behalf. So you have a cholesh she'ein bo sakana, his life is not in danger. We'll define in a minute what it is. But a cholesh she'ein bo sakana, the Gemara says you can have a nochri do, presumably even malachos the araisa. What is the definition of a cholesh ein bo sakana? The Rashi writes there, Kuf Kaf Tes Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskel Chole. Chole She'im Lo Yasu Lo Refua Ein Mesukan Lamus. He's a chole that if you don't do anything, there's no danger to his life. U'mikol Mokom Sarachula. But he's still in a compromised position where he needs medical care. And the Rashi doesn't use the term, right, the line in the Gemara, Kuf Kaf Tes Amud Aleph, at the very top, is right down on the top in the middle. Rav Hamanuna, the Amr Rav Hamanuna, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, medium size lines down. Amr Rav Hamanuna, Davar She'ein Basakana, Omer Lenachri Ve'osa. Rashi writes, "Davar she'im sakana, cholish im lo yasu lo refua zu, im mesukan lamus." So you're not going to treat him with this refua; he's not going to die. When you come back with sarach lo, but he still needs that refua for his betterment. Okay. The Rambam writes, "Perek beis halacha yud." Perek beis halacha yud. Cholish ein bo sakana, osin lo kol tzirachav ayidei goy. So cholish ein bo sakana, you can do anything that he needs, ayidei goy. Keitzad, omim lagoy lasas lo, buosa, levashalo, lefos, lahavi refu rishis, rishus, b'chayotze v'elu. V'chein chochel eina min agoy b'shabis, alfa pish ein sham sakana. V'im hayu tzrichim l'dvarim, she'ein behem malacha, and if he needs something that doesn't involve malacha, as the Mishnah understands, that means it doesn't involve malacha d'oraisa, osin osan afilu yisrael. So when it comes, the Rambam sounds like, the way the Kesef Mishnah understands it, that when it comes to a malacha d'rabanan, that you can do for a cholesh ein bo sakana al yidei yisrael. Okay. So what is a, how do we define a cholesh ein bo sakana? Rashi only told us that he's someone whose life isn't in danger, but he needs this refuah. That's not so specific. How do we, what is the definition, or what constitutes a cholesh ein bo sakana? So the Magen Mishnah here, Beis Yud, uses the terminology that the person is a chola b'chol gufo. He has a illness that consumes his whole body, that the entirety of him is ill. That language is reflected in the Ramah in Sif Yud Zayin. Okay. sheyesh lo mecha shemitzar v'chala mimeno kol gufa, that he has an ailment that afflicts him, that causes him pain, and his whole body is affected. The lashon of the mechaber is nofel mishkav. Chol shenafel machmas kol yel mishkav. He's bedridden. Ve'ein bo sakana. And the Rambam says that even if he's not bedridden, but his whole body is afflicted, that's the equivalent of bedridden, and that is a chol she'ein bo sakana. So in terms of taking medicine for chol she'ein bo sakana, that we'll talk about probably next time. We're going to leave medicine aside for now, but we'll focus now on what malachos can be performed. So when it comes for ayde nachri, you can do malacha deraisa. That's beferish in the Gemara. What can a Yisrael do? And that's the major machlokas you've shown him, with multiple opinions reflected here in the Mechaber. So let's try to tackle that right now. So the first opinion is Shulchan Aruch, again we're in Sif Yud Zayin.
Any examples of Nafla Mishkan, or at least the Ramaz?
Chol
kol gufo, but not
nofel mishkov. Chol kol gufo, that's not nofel mishkov.
Tooth?
Is that chol kol gufo? I guess it could be. I guess right. Anything that has, if the pain radiates through the whole body, but it doesn't incapacitate you to the extent that you have to lie down.
And a classic case of nafla mishkov, or
a common case of nafla mishkov, if you have not a life-threatening fever, but a high fever, you have a migraine headache. You have any ailment that basically incapacitates you, and
flu,
and you have to some of that. Going to say, even if you're not actually lying down, but if all things were equal, you would lie down. But and even if you have some pressing circumstance that forced you out of bed, but if you didn't have a pressing circumstance, you'd be in bed, and that would be nafal mishkav as well. Okay, so the Mechaber writes. Chol shenafel machmas chol yel mishkav ein basakana. Omer lein Yehudi lasas l'refua, aval ein mechal in olav es Shabbos beisur deraisa. Afilu yesh bo sakanas eder. Okay, what about the rabbanans? L'chal olav Yisrael beisur the rabbanan beyadayim. So can you be mechal Shabbos with an isur the rabbanan? Yesh matirim, so that's how someone to stand the Rambam that we just read, that Yisrael could be Michal Shabbos, or Yisrael can violate an Issa the Rabbanon, even Shalom Ayyidei Shinoi, for a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Afilu eim bo sakana sever. Yesh omrim sheim yesh bo sakana sever osin, vim eim bo sakana sever osin. So that, we're going to talk about sakana sever in a little bit, whether you distinguish between sakana sever or not. V'yesh omrim shem eima sakanas eiver osin b'shinoi v'yesh ma sakanas eiver osin b'lo shinoi. Opinion number three is that if there's no sakanas eiver, regular cholish eima sakanas, no sakanas eiver, a Yisrael can do malacha d'rabbanan only ayidei shinoi. The Mechaber writes, divrei asfara hashlishis nira. He prefers that opinion, that's the Ramban and the Ran. Well, we assume all things being equal, lahalacha, that a cholah she'ein bo sakana, you can do a malacha derabbanan only ayidei shina. Right? Cholah she'ein bo sakana, do anything. Cholah she'ein bo sakana, ayidei nachri, you can do deraisas. Ayidei Yisrael, you can only do a derabbanan al yidei shina. That's what we, and all things being equal, accept l'halacha. Why should that be so? Rabbi Bonder quotes, it's on page 48 to 49, quotes from Mordechai Benet in the Sefer Magen Avos, that in principle, we should have said that for Cholish Eim Sakana, you can do Malacha Drabbanan straight up. Because we should have said that the Makom Choli Lo Gozru, that the Rabbanan didn't insist that we keep the Rabbanan if it's going to interfere with the treatment of a Chola. So we should have said that a Cholish Eim Sakana, you can do Malacha Drabbanan without hesitation. The reason we're Machmir, and require a Shinoi, is because since we go to such extremes to be make for cholish yesh basakana, to even violate the raisas, there was a concern that if we're going to allow you to violate the abundance in the normal fashion for cholish ein basakana, you may come to violate the raisas there as well. It's because the starting point is that we're so makel for cholish yesh basakana, we have to go a little bit to the other extreme when it comes to a cholish ein basakana, to make sure that we're not going to erroneously be inappropriately mako for a cholish ein basakana. So all things being equal, you would have said that even for a cholish ein basakana, you can violate the rabbanan without a shinoi. The reason Chazal insisted on a shinoi, or the reason these we show to explain that we insist on a shinoi, is because we don't want you to make mistakes and to come to violate the rices. Okay,
except that the cholish ein basakanas are kind of like the people who are, in a way, we really don't want them to become masukan. And right, they're the ones who are.
So if there's a concern that they're going to come to be
masukan. Most cholim are probably ein basakana, and we don't want them to get worse.
If there's a concern that it might come to cholish yesh basakana, so then that's a different cheshbon. We're talking about, we're not, you know, there's no concern that it's going to rise the level of sakana. And just uncomfortable. So maybe would have said that you could violate the rabbanan. Also, so no, we insist that you do it ayde shinoi, so as not to blur the lines between a chol sheyesh basakana and a chol sheein basakana. Okay. So if it's the case, that you can either use a nachri for even malachas deraisa, or use a Yisrael for malachas derabbanan ayidei shinoi, do you need to dafka seek out an achri rather than do something ayidei Yisrael? So Yisrael Meir pointed out that there are seemingly conflicting mashmayos in the Mishnah Berurah in a situation where you have an achri readily available. So should you be mahadir achar an achri to do the malacha, the rabbanan that you need to do, or can you lechachil, or should you do it ayidei shinoi yourself, and not ask the nachri, even if the nachri is readily available? And Rabbi Bonder, I saw, points this out as well. Look first in Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Nun Dalid. Osim Mishinoi, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Hainu ha'isid rabbanan ve'ein sarach lechapes achar nachri. That you can violate an isid rabbanan ayidei shinoi, and you don't need to go looking for an achri. But if there's an achri here next to you, sounds like maybe you should ask the achri. If you don't have to go knocking on the neighbor's door, but if he's right here in the house, sounds like you should ask him. Mishnah Berurah Nun Aleph, question the Chayei Adam, Kol davar shemutar lasos ayidei Yisrael b'chol ish ein basakana, afilu yachol lasas ayidei ein yehudi mutter. That anything that a Yisrael is permitted to do for cholish ein basakana, even if you can just as well have an achri do it, it's mutter to have a Yisrael do it, and there's no need to be mahader achar hanachri. The Rabbi Bonder thinks that Nun Aleph is primary, that citation l'chai adam, against the mashmos of Nun Dalid, and he thinks that l'halacha, even if you have an achri readily available, you don't have to use him, and you can just as well do malacha derabbanan ayidei shinoi yourself.
So clappy that chol shein basakana that Yisrael is not to do the derabbanan with the shinoi, it's like kutra.
If you want to call it that way, because, you know, as I just talked to Rabbi Willig about this before, he said that the Shina is basically very kal, so it doesn't take much to, you don't have to be so concerned about doing a Malachai de Shina where it's licensed, because that's, it's a Darabana with the Shina is a low grade violation to begin with. Okay, what about doing, are there ever grounds for doing a malacha d'araisa yidei shinui? So there's a Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Shulchan Aruch HaRav Sif Yotes, who writes that if necessary, you can even do a malacha d'araisa yidei shinui, because a malacha d'araisa ayidei shinoi is itself only aser vidrabana. What's his raya to this? That you can do a malacha d'araisa ayidei shinoi for a chola sheyesh bo sakana, a chola sheyesh bo sakana. His raya is from a gemara in Ksubas Daf Samach. The Gemara, Ksuba Saf Samach, is actually quoted. Take a look, you don't have Ksuba in front of you, but take a look at the Shulchan Aruch here, Sif Lama Gimel. Shin Kav Chet Sif Lama Gimel. Goneach Mutter Linach Chalav Nibahema. So the Gemara there discusses someone who has an illness, where the treatment for the illness is to milk or to extract the milk from an animal. So goneach mutter linach chalav mibehema debemakam tsara lo gazru rabbana. Okay, let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Goneach mikave libo shirfasa lina kalav rasech mibahemta kufav. So that's his treatment to milk the milk from an animal. Malkum tsara kuzayin haina da'afti ekir chaliva sabahemu huvidaraisa. Mishem afaritu told us dash, normally milking the animal on Shabbos is the milk of the raisa. Mikal malkum bazesh yuai dayanika. So here you're not squeezing it, but you're taking it with your mouth. Since you're doing it in a kalacha yad fashion, it's only an isid derabbanan. V'tir v'zeh. V'af dekai mulan v'chol choli she'em v'sakana omer leinu yehudi v'osa. Hachashani derefua shalo hu linak v'atzmo. So here you can't have an elchri do it, because that's not going to help you. So here we allow you to violate an Issed Rabbanon directly. It would have been a deraisa, but in this fashion it's called Achiyad, which is only an Isser Derabbanon. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, this is essentially violating a Malacha deraisa Ayidei Shina. So we allow a chola she'ein bo sakana to violate a malacha d'araisa al yidei shinoi.
Except here, by the yoinik, it's yef sheva derech acheres to get the treatment.
Okay.
So how could you apply that to where you have two Yisraelim and one is...
The question is, can you violate a malacha d'rabban and shalor yidei shinoi? Right?
For a chol- We're talking about Daraisa. Ayyadei Shinoi.
I'm sorry. Can you violate a malacha Daraisa? Sorry, Ayyadei Shinoi. Right. So you're saying what?
Well, here the heter is because there's no other person. The choyla has to engage in the malacha himself. No one else can do it for him.
Okay.
And he wants to apply that to, you have a doctor and you have a patient, and the doctor is going to do. In other words, the choyla himself is not doing the iser. It's not going into the case of Yainik. Here the doctor is doing the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's heter. The doctor is doing the
why should that make a difference? Because if you'd assume that Amlacha Daraisa is Aser even Ayidei Shinoi, then the Chol shouldn't be able to do it either. He's not going to die from it, so wait till after Shabbos.
The Mishnah Berurah is saying it's different over here. Otherwise, it would be Aser, except that the Chol is the only one who can do it.
The Mishnah Berurah is explaining why you don't have enough either. Why are you allowed to do it yourself?
Oh, you don't have to do it yourself.
Is it saying why do you not insist on having enough we do it? So here having enough we do one up. We'll see the Mishnah Berurah has a different understanding b'chalal this halacha why it's not why he argues on the Shulchan Aruch Rav. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav's take is that this is a paradigm for violating a Malacha D'Oraisa al yaday Shina. Okay, so Paskin's Igletal, Tochein Os Yuches, Igletal Tochein Os Yuches, that you're allowed to violate a Malacha D'Oraisa Ayidei Shinoi for a Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana. Mishnah Berurah argues. Where does the Mishnah Berurah argue? Not here, but in Hilchos Yontif. Rav Vosner points this out. Shevet Alevi Cheleches Simen Tzadi Gimel. Shevet Alevi Cheleches Simen Tzadi Gimel. Mishnah Berurah Simen Tav Tzadi Vav. Shar Hatzion Sivkat and Tes. Mishnah Berurah Tav Tzadi Vav. Shar Hatzion Sivkat and Tes. So the Shaar HaTzion there writes as follows, that the din on Yontiv is the same as the din on Shabbos for Chol she'ein bo sakana. So just like you're not allowed to violate a Malacha D'Oraisa even Ayidei Shinoi for Chol she'ein bo sakana on Shabbos, so too you're not allowed to violate a Malacha D'Oraisa even Ayidei Shinoi for a chol she'ein bo sakana on Yontif. Because Yontif and Shabbos are the same. What about this din of goneach? So doesn't goneach show that you can violate a malacha d'oraisa ayidei shinoi? Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar HaTzion, no. Bishlomer Hassam ain darka shamafarek bekach lo chashiva malacha klal. The gara davar mistam shinei v'alma. That no, that's a lower grade shinoi. That if you do something in a kalachar yad fashion, then that is a lower grade shinoi than a regular shinoi. That's better. That's a different quality of malacha or not malacha than a standard malacha d'oraisa ayidei shinoi. Malacha d'oraisa ayidei shinoi you can't do. What's going on with the Gemara Iksubas Daf Samach? That's talking about kalachar yad. So if you mefar kalachar yad, that's a low grade shinoi, and that would be mutter. But a general, generic shinoi, you just do a malacha ayidei shnayim shasu, or you do a malacha with the back of your elbow instead of with your hand. So that's a regular shinoi that you can't do by Malacha D'Oraisa in Kalachar Yad. That might be a Kalachar Yad case also. He says a regular, let's say if it's a kind of Malacha that do with your left hand is considered a shinoi, or whatever the shinoi would be, but the Mefar Kalachar Yad is a lower grade shinoi that knocks it down to almost not a Malacha at all. And therefore, it's not a model for general Malacha D'Oraisa Ayidei Shinoi. Okay, that's what the Shaar HaTzion says in Hilchos Yontif Siman Tav Tzadi Vav.
I didn't say anything, but it sounds like a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. Not that I have a problem with it, but you should have
explained that more here in Shin Chavches.
Yeah, I get a different feeling from the one in Shin Chavches.
I don't think it's a steer, right?
It's not a steering din, it's in time.
Okay, there's nothing what he wrote in Shin Vilches that contradicts that.
He's saying Hacha Shiny, not because it's not Nachshav Malacha Klal, because it's Gar Mistam Shiny. It's Shiny Hacha, the Refuah Shalo, Hu Leonik Asma.
Yeah, but here he's addressing a different question. Here he's addressing the question of why can't Yavin Nachri do it?
Yeah, but in also this, why are you allowed to do it?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's not the focus. I hear what you're saying. It's not the focus of the Mishnah Berurah here, so I don't know if I can call it a stira, but okay. Right. And then Rav Avner points out, again, this is Chelechas Simin Tzadi Gimel, that he thinks that there's a Rashba that supports the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. What's the Rashba? The Rashba is Kuf Kaf Tesamet Aleph and Shabbos, Dibur Maskel Amarle. Okay, Shabbos Kuf Kaf Tesamet Aleph, Dibur Maskel Amarle. He thinks the Rashba indicates that Amlacha Deraisa Ayideshinu is Mutter for Chola She'ein Bo Sakana. How is that? The Rashba writes, the Kashali, okay, the Gemara again says, where we started with Kuf Kaf Tesamet Aleph, that you can violate, you can have a Nachri Dum Lacha Deraisa for Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. So Rashba writes, the Kashali, the Ha Amrinan, the Gabi Goneach Yone Cholav, Mifar Kelacher Yadhu, Ubamakam Sarah Lagazira Banan. So doesn't that sound like you can do a malacha yourself? That's Shaloi de Nachri. The Yeshlomar Kilachar Yad Af Al Pi Shehu Shavus Eino Dome the Lo Nira Kaosa Milacha. Again. Kalachar Yad, Afal Pishahu Shvus, Eino Dome, Velonira Kaosa Malacha. How do you translate that line? Kalachar Yad, Afal Pishahu Shvus, Eino Dome, Velonira Kaosa Malacha. So he reads it as Kilachar Yad, if you do a Malacha da Raisa Kilachar Yad Alpha Pisha Hu Shvus, then that becomes a Shvus. And that's Mutter. I'm not sure if that's the only way to read the line. It's a little bit of a confusing line. Kalachar Yad, Afa Pisha Hu Shavus. The reason that is, if you do something Kalachar Yad, that makes it into a Shavus, and then you're allowed to do a Malacha Deraisa Kalachar Yad for a Chol Hashem Bo Sakana. Even if that is what the Rashi was saying, but still, as we pointed out from the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar Tzion and the Hilchos Yontiv, that maybe there's still a difference between Kalachar Yad in this situation and the regular Shinoi. I'm not sure. Take a look at the Rashba and tell me what you think. But the Rav Avner thinks that the Rashba is mashma like the Alter Rebbe. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa Perek Lamed Gimel Ha'ari Yilches. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa Perek Lamed Gimel Ha'ari Yilches. Quotes of Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman thought that when necessary, you have the right to be Mako like the Alter Rebbe and the Igle Tal to violate even a Daraisa Ayideh Shinoi for a Chola She ein bo sakana. And Rabbi Willick holds that way as well, that when necessary, you could be samech on the Alter Rebbe to violate even a malacha deraisa, ayidei shinui for a chola she'ein bo sakana.
In such situations, you probably choshes to become a chola she'ein bo sakana, which would be mutter to do maybe even a deraisa without the shinui. So we're talking about a case where you're a little bit more musupik.
In any event, I think in that kind of a situation, then it's definitely better to find a nachri if possible. But if you're stuck and there's no nachri available, let's say that someone has the 102 fever, that you wouldn't rely on Rav Moshe to be Mechal Shabbos ahead for the Raisas, but here, there's more to talk about. The other somewhat, I would say, related question, but a similar question discussed a little bit in Poskim, is what about a malacha de rabbanan below shinui? If you're in a situation where it's not practical to do the malacha de rabbanan ayde shinui, can you do it below shinui? The Mishnah Brura sifkatan kuf gimel kuvasin l'chay adam. That if push comes to shove and you can't do the malacha derabana ayde shinoi, you can do it below shinoi. Rabbi Bonner points out that one could distinguish the context of the chayadam, which is also the context of Rav Moshe in Chelek Gimel Siman Nun Gimel. Chelek Gimel Nun Gimel is about medicine. So medicine anyway is more kal, as we'll discuss probably next time. So, taking medicine, Beloshina may be different than other Drabans Beloshinoi. Rabbi Karpaskin's Perek Lamed Os Yudalid, that Melacha Drabban Shalai Deshino, you could be makel only, or should be makel only, if someone is mitzdar harbe, if he's in a lot of pain, and there's a clear necessity. So that's where you could consider doing malacha derabanan shloi deshino. He quotes that from the Mor Uksir. Okay, so let's just spend another 5 minutes on sakanas aver, and then we'll conclude. The Rush, Avodah Zarah Perek Beis Siman Yud, the Rush in Avodah Zarah Perek Beis Siman Yud is mistapek whether Sakanas Eiver allows a Dirabanan below Shinoi. Alright, so let's go back again to Sif Yudayin, and now we'll read this with an eye towards Sakanas Eiver, whether Sakanas Eiver is any different than a generic chola she'ein bo sakana. The first opinion in the Mechaber Sif Yudayin was Issa derabbanan biyadayim yesh matir mafilu ein bo sakana sefer. That might be the Rambam, that even without sakana sefer you can violate a derabbanan straight. V'yesh omrim she'im yesh bo sakana sefer osin v'im ein bo sakana sefer ein osin. That's one opinion in the Ran. And that's the Suffolk of the Rush. That maybe you could do Malacha Derabbanan straight without a Shinoi for a Sakana Sefer. Regular Kol Shema Sakana Na, Sakana Sefer, yes. Then the third opinion, which the Mechaber favors, is if there's no Sakana Sefer, Osin B'Shinoi. If Yeshua Sakana Sefer, Osin below Shinoi. So even though we paskin that by Yechol She'ema Sakana you need a Shinoi, Sakana Sefer, you don't need a Shinoi. Okay. There's a Me'iri in Avodah Zarah there, Kavchesam and Beis, Hebrew Maskel Ayin. The Me'iri writes that you could be Mechal Shabbos for daraisas, for sakana sefer. Even for daraisas, you can be chalash shabbos for sakana sefer. So the footnote there, the Meiri says, no other rishon subscribes to this position. Rav Shechter quotes, printed in Bikvei Yatzon, the end of Siman Yud, Sridei Eish, Sridei Eish, Chelek Aleph, page Shin Ches, Chelek Aleph, page Shin Ches, quotes this Meiri, and he says that he found other Rishonim that hold this way. He found Rabbeinu Tam, a Raviyah, a Mordechai. If you look into Rav Shechter's analysis there, he points out that these Rishonim don't really say that. Nishmas Avram quotes an Aguda who he thinks says this, but also may not say it. So at the end of the day, the Meiri sounds like he stands alone as Ashitas Yachin Rishonim, that we generally are not Sobech on for this. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Next time I want to discuss a little bit stitches on Shabbos. And then we'll move on to discuss before. So I'll post now another Marmar Kamos on the next topic of... Sorry, we'll talk about medicine.
Okay. So
the next topic of medicine.
Stitches and medicine?
Stitches will be short, and then we'll begin medicine.